Just read from the Gospel of John. Tonight I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. So this is John chapter 2, verses 1 to 10.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now on the third day there was a wedding feast in the Galilean village of Cana, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were all invited to the banquet, but with so many guests in attendance, they ran out of wine. And when Mary realized it, she came to him and asked, "They have no wine. Can't you do something about it?" Jesus replied, "My dear one, don't you understand that if I do this, it won't change anything for you, but it will change everything for me. My hour of unveiling, my power, has not yet come." Mary then went to the servers and told them, "Whatever Jesus tells you, make sure you do it." Now there were six stone water pots standing nearby. They were meant to be used for the Jewish washing rituals. Each one held about 20 gallons or more. Jesus came to the servers and told them, "Fill the pots with water right up to the very brim." Then he said, "Now fill your pitchers and take them to the master of ceremonies." And when they poured out their pitcher for the master of ceremonies to sample, the water had become wine. When he tasted the water that became wine, the master of the ceremonies was impressed, although he didn't know where the wine had come from, but the servers knew. He called the bridegroom over and said to him, "Every host serves his best wine first until everyone has had a cup or two. Then he serves the wine of poor quality. But you, my friend, you have reserved the most exquisite wine until now." So I'm Kylie. I'm married to Hayden. The two of us have kind of been hanging around the edges of Benedictus for about 3 years, and that has meant that for those of you that probably know us most, it's not been through the Saturday night gatherings, but through other parts of the community life here. So thank you for listening to my story and a bit of Hayden's story as well. He's not here tonight. He's actually in New Zealand at the moment. You'll recall last year Neil did some teaching that we had the theme of creation, and at the time when Neil, that Saturday night when he talked about trees, Hayden was actually in New Zealand doing land rehabilitation work, volunteer with national parks over there, looking at working with farmers to bring more biodiversity back. Well, he's back there now tonight. He's just finished surveying the results of some of that direct seeding process. So both Hayden and I, we grew up in country New South Wales, but we've lived the majority of our lives here in Canberra for the last 25 years. I've always had an awareness of God from a very young age. I've had an incredibly eclectic formation. I've been through most of the Christian pathways, evangelical, charismatic denominations, and most recently I've spent 4.5 years working for the Catholic Church. So, as I said, I've been coming to Benedictus about 3 years or so. I met Sarah through training as a spiritual director. And over that time, I've had a growing desire for the contemplative Christian life, and many of people here have helped me in that journey. I've worked in community services, starting as a nurse. I'm really interested in social change and what the formation of leadership, particularly leaders of not-for-profit, faith-based organisations. So how the institutions that we serve make a difference in the world. Towards the end of last year, I experienced the reality of what it means to be in the community sector at this time, and another restructure, another revisioning, another downsizing, and no more position for me. So I've, the last couple of months, have really reached a transition point in my life, and now, a couple of months down the track, can be really grateful for that. But it's led to both Hayden and I to a wonderful transition point, and I know life's not going to be the same again. During the past few months, just serendipitously, I had organised to start a 30-week Ignatian retreat in daily life. And guided by these weekly sessions with the spiritual director, this parallel process of going through quite a significant shift and terrible time, has been incredibly significant, and knowing that God and has been leading me in that. So this passage was actually one that I've been reflecting on when Sarah put out the call about sharing our stories with the community. So it comes directly from my experience of how I used that passage in creative imagination during the retreat time. And I think it's significant because it actually gives an illustration as I unpack the reflection on some of my journey and how I've ended up where I am today. I also think it's significant. The passage is very significant as we celebrate Pentecost. And I love synchronicity, and it was only when I sat down to really write and think about what I was going to say that I realised that Prince Harry and Meghan are about to celebrate their wedding tonight too. So we'll hold all of those things and see what it is the Spirit would like to reveal to us. So I've sat with this passage before this year. It was several years ago. I can't pinpoint it exactly, but I can recall the profound impact of what it meant to imagine myself in the scene. And the first time I did this, so several years ago, I found myself as one of the servant girls. I was working behind the scenes at the wedding, very aware of everything that was going on, busily trying to preempt the needs of the guests and the host. I distinctly remember being curious as I was attracted to Jesus. I remember noticing what he was doing, watching him talk with his servants as I moved in and out of the kitchen and tried to be Martha, I suppose. I noticed how his disciples followed him. I felt like that I was in on a secret, but I couldn't quite be part of it. I had a physical sense of longing to be near him and to be near what he was doing. And then I remember my physical reaction right here when in my mind's eye, he caught my eye as he was leaving the wedding scene, as if he was inviting me to come with him. Oh, how I wanted to go. But I touched my apron. It reminded me of my duties back in the kitchen. With my eyes downward, I retreated behind the door. But I was changed that day because I had a new inner knowing that Jesus' invitation was open to me, and that has stayed with me. So a few weeks ago, the reading came up again. I thought, okay, here we go again. I'll see what happens this time. And I approached the passage with this memory, still quite fresh. But I came with a new curiosity. I sat quietly to place myself in the story. And to my surprise, I was drawn to imagine what it would be like to be the vessel. The vessel is built for holding water for ceremonial cleansing, a vessel with an important religious purpose. I identify strongly with this frame of reference to serving God. It's a slight shift from being a servant in the kitchen. It's slightly more immediate, slightly more in the centre of the story, and it's probably represented the last 15 years of my life as I've diligently ministered, playing roles in a large Baptist church, and more recently my work serving in a church-based agency. I was willing and available to serve the religious system with whatever God filled me with. But my identity and my purpose and the way that I responded to God's grace in my life was to serve those organisations with my everything. So as I'm the vessel, I feel the water flowing in. It leaves me with mixed feelings. Relief, because I'm a container, a vessel for God's service. But also trepidation as I become aware how often my jar has been emptied, sucked dry. My head and my heart spin with the awareness of how much energy it's taken to pour out to meet institutional expectations. But wait, something's happening inside this vessel. The liquid is no longer water. I'm being filled. but not to serve some religious mandate, not to hold the liquid of ritual cleansing, but to be filled with a different liquid. I'm filled with wine. It's wine, the liquid of joy, which Richard mentioned, the liquid of celebration, a drink for all the invited guests to share as they gather together to celebrate union. Wine speaks to me of being affected as you take it in. It's intoxicating. And intoxication takes you off guard. It makes you vulnerable, and you're open to interact with things in a way that you wouldn't usually. In this case, the wine at the wedding opens us up to the possibility of a deeper experience of what is embodied in the union of marriage. It opens us up to hear Jesus calling us into the new way of relating to God, the possibility of union and co-creation beyond religious rituals. I no longer carry water, whose function it is to cleanse what's dirty. I carry the wine of union. So do you. This is not just any wine, it's the best wine, and it's come out last. This points to the fact that the best is here in our midst. As with any encounter with the Gospels, I'm left with more questions than answers. What if I'm a vessel that carries this wine that continually points to the celebration of union? What if that's who I am? What if that's who we are? It's got to change something. It's got to change our identity. It changed my identity. What if those who drink with me, who drink from me as I share life with them, might also be intoxicated with this new wine of union? This calls us, calls me, calls all of us, I think, into a new world, a new way of seeing ourselves in the world, a new way of understanding what I receive from God, what I contain and what I bring into the world wherever I find myself. This calls me into a new way of participating in the kingdom. It's a way of joy and service from a place of unmeasured hospitality. It's beyond the walls of the institution and the energy-draining place of maintenance. I think that these what-if questions apply when we place ourselves in the scene in Acts chapter 2 and when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the disciples as well. In fact, those who didn't understand what was happening said that they were just drunk on new wine. What does it mean? I'm not 100% sure, but I'm drawn to the question, and I am sure that it changes everything for me. So my experience of responding to call, even recently, has been a movement away from identity as a servant of God through the roles that I've played, through the servant girl stuck in the kitchen wishing she could be with Jesus, and the water-filled vessel looking for what's dirty to make clean. The last few years have been a journey through the pain and relief of letting go of dominant church paradigms and careers that have been part of this. As diligent as I've been in my attention to respond to God's grace, I've come to an awareness that being a vessel filled with new wine that points to the reality of union with God and imbibing of that myself is my life's work. And I'm trusting whatever I do will flow from that place. So at this transition point with no job, Hayden and I have decided to move to the northwest of Tasmania, which we leave for in a couple of weeks. We've been drawn to Tassie for many years, and we're not sure what we're to do there yet. We're drawn to the weather and the wilderness, the trees, the smaller country towns and the energy in a small town that we're going to settle in called Penguin, where there is a core group in the community. Every time I turn around, someone else is introducing me to somebody else who's involved in some form of spirituality or sustainability, alternative economy, how to live in the world differently, which is definitely, for Hayden and I both, a passion and interest. I do advise you to look out on the news, though, because I'm a little concerned that activist Hayden will come out as there is an increased fight to protect the Tarquin Wilderness, which could be the next Franklin. But anyway, I'm trusting God's leading us there, so we'll see. I won't be in front of the bulldozers, but on behalf of both Hayden and myself, I'd like to thank the Benedictus community, those who I've met and those who have not met. We found Benedictus when we needed a community where we could just come and be without expectation, and that's been significant in this shift for us. This community has welcomed us, and we were met most deeply in our shared times of silence here. There's a deep knowing in this place that we're all on this journey of faith, that we're leaning in and we're letting go. We both leave with a sense that we're not alone, but that we're part of a bigger, larger movement of people who are imbibing together and encouraging one another to deepen our faith and our contemplative way of being and seeing how that's expressed so that the world might be changed wherever we are. So I look forward tonight to drinks, to tasting the wine together as we remember what it points to and how it changes our identity.